Live from the overly lit, overly bright Studio S on the campus of Michigan State University. It's Current Sports with Al Martin.
Yes, good afternoon and a happy Halloween, ladies and gents. Yes, the day has come when we all dress up, go door to door and beg for candy. Well, if you're grown, you shouldn't be doing that, but yeah, it's a little weird, I must say. But yes, this is one of my favorite times of the year. I hope you all are safe out there today. It's raining. It's supposed to be raining all day, to be honest with you, but man, I personally will be staying in and watching some of my favorite Halloween movies. But welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Shout out to my unbelievable engineer for this great opening, MJ, my favorite Halloween song of all time, Thriller. And yeah, be safe, guys. Halloween is a fun time of the year, but you got to be safe, all right? And how about the Boston Red Sox, huh? Yes, they clinched the World Series last night. Can you believe that? The first time they've done that at Fenway. And get this, 95 years. Yes, 95 years. Incredible stuff. We're going to dive into that game. And the Pistons, yes, they tipped off their season last night against the Washington Wizards. And I must say, it feels good. It feels great to have Mr. Big Shot back and sporting the red, white, and blue. Yes, Chauncey and company pulled out the W to begin the season. And the Pistons are undefeated, folks. I had to get that off my chest because I won't be saying that for long. Probably not. I don't know. But, hey, it's the beginning of the season. The Pistons, they start off 1-0. We'll talk about this year's Pistons team. And we are asking you all today, just how good do you think they will be this season? Will they make the playoffs? Well, give us a call. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Also want to thank all of those that came out to last night's taping of Current Sports TV. Yes, I sat down with Matthew Brown, a great guy, the organizational head coach of the Lansing Cowboys Youth Football League. It was certainly a good time as we dove into how the league was founded and how it's free, yes, free, absolutely free for any kid that makes the team. Now, he shared some inspirational stories and told us about his passion for helping kids. So for those staying in and not trick-or-treating tonight, check out Current Sports TV at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. Well, let's dive into today's show. Here are your Current Sports headliners on this Halloween 2013. All right, again, the Red Sox. All right, David Ortiz and the Boston Red Sox topped the St. Louis Cardinals last night, 6-1 to capture the ball club's third World Series title in the last 10 seasons. How about that? Now, when it was over, Ortiz took a microphone on the field and addressed the city, just as he did a week after the Boston Marathon bombings in April. He said, quote, "This is for you, Boston. You guys deserve it. We've been through a lot this year, and this is all for you and all those families who struggled." Now, for the first time since Babe Ruth's team in 1918, Boston won the title at Fenway Park. The 101-year-old stadium, the oldest in the majors, was packed, absolutely jammed, with 38,447 signing, shouting, and just going crazy, anticipating the party. Afterwards, it was an unbelievable sight there. Now, John Lackey, he became the first pitcher to start and win a series clincher for different teams, allowing one run over 6 2/3 innings, 11 years after his Game 7 victory as an Angels rookie in 2002. Now, with fans roaring on every pitch and cameras flashing, I tell you what, this guy has just been a stud. Koji Uehara, yes, he struck out Matt Carpenter for the final out. Koji has been unbelievable. He jumped into the arms of catcher David Ross while the Red Sox players rushed from the dugout and bullpen. And the Boston theme of, quote, dirty water played on the public address system. So how about that? Boston, hats off to you guys, well-deserving, especially looking at all that you guys have gone through You know, you talk about that tragedy that happened earlier this year. Unbelievable moment there. All right, a noted car enthusiast, Justin Verlander, yes, JV. I think he made this purchase, you know, after seeing, you know, after the tires got eliminated and they're not in the playoffs anymore, you know, knowing what could have happened, they could be holding up, they should be holding up this World Series trophy. That's what's going through JV's mind. I think he needed to make this purchase to, you know, to relieve some stress, I guess, all right? But JV, a noted car enthusiast, he added another beauty to his impressive car collection earlier this month. Now, it's a 2014 Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG Black Series. The car is gorgeous, folks. Verlander's brother, Ben, tweeted a picture of the new purchase early Wednesday with an estimated price of $250,000 and fewer than 200 transported to the United States. The SLS Black is considered arguably the most expensive Mercedes of the moment. It was officially unveiled last fall at the LA Auto Show and tops out at 196 miles per hour. Verlander's newest addition joins his notable collection, which includes a Mercedes-Benz SLS AMG, now a Ferrari 458 Italia, a Mercedes-Benz SL55, a Maserati. The man has a Maserati, folks, and an Aston Martin DBS. How about that? But you got to check out this car. It caught my attention. I was reading through the headliners like I do every single morning, and I saw that car, and I almost, you know, had a heart attack. Unbelievable. So, JV, yeah, I guess he needed to purchase after the Tigers with that, you know, losing to Boston in the playoffs. So, hats off to JV. Nice car, man. All right, Pistons and Wizards. Chauncey Billups enjoyed a delightful homecoming Wednesday night, scoring 16 points in his first game back with the Pistons and helping Detroit to a 113-102 victory over the Washington Wizards. Now, Greg Monroe had 24 points, 16 rebounds. Josh Smith, he added 19 points for the new-look Pistons, who won their first game under new head coach Maurice Cheeks. Andre Drummond, he added 12 points and 8 rebounds for Detroit, which is hoping to snap a streak of 4 straight. Yes, can you believe this? 4 straight seasons without reaching the playoffs. I can't believe it's been that long. Now, Trevor Ariza for the Wizards, he scored 28 points. The Wizards, who were outscored 56-28 in the paint, just completely, they couldn't get anything going in the paint. Washington's John Wall had 20 points and 11 assists, and he went 8-for-21 from the field, though, so that took a lot of shots to do that. The Wizards went 7-for-34 on the road last season, and Gigi Datome, an Italian star who joined the Pistons this offseason, of course, the MVP of the Italian League last season, he played only the last 19 seconds. Detroit outscored Washington 32-8 in the paint just in the first half alone. So congrats to the Pistons. They're 1-0, folks. All right, Wings and Canucks. Thomas Tatar, he scored his first goal of the season in just his fifth game late in the second period Wednesday night as the Red Wings snapped a four-game skid with a 2-1 victory over the Vancouver Canucks. Now, after Daniel Alfredson tied the score 1-1 midway through the second, Tatar gave Detroit its first lead of the night with 62 seconds left in the period. Now, the Red Wings came in wanting to tighten up defensively after a couple of poor outings and did just that, as Jimmy Howard was forced into just 19 saves. Just 19 is all it took. Now, no longer conference rivals, thanks to the realignment with the Canucks. The Canucks and the Red Wings combined for just 31 shots and a few scoring chances through two periods in a defensive matchup that was played between the blue lines most of the night. Now, the Red Wings continue a four-game road trip on Friday against the Calgary Flames. All right, Megatron, Offensive Player of the Month, Lions All-Pro wide receiver slash transformer Calvin Johnson has won the NFC's Offensive Player of the Month award after an extremely productive October. Now, Johnson hauled in 26 catches for 509 yards and 3 touchdowns and put the exclamation point on October with his ridiculous 14-catch, 329-yard day against Dallas. Now, Megatron, who missed a game in October, on October 6th versus the Packers, if you remember, was still able to win the award with 3 strong games, averaging 169.7 yards per contest. That is just sick. Now, Johnson becomes the first wide receiver to win the award multiple times, previously winning in November of 2012, and it's a good bet to say this won't be the last time either, all right? All right, MSU and Ferris State women's exhibition game last night. Now, thanks to suffocating defense and 27 points from freshman Tori Janikowska, the MSU women's basketball team rolled Ferris State in their exhibition opener 100-52. And Aaron, what was the score of that men's basketball game? Because that is, it was 101. The men's basketball game was 101-52 against Grand Valley State University. That is just a point off. Can you believe that? That's scary. That's eerie on this Halloween. Man. All right. Taking control with a 24-0 run. The Spartan women got contributions from just about everyone with five players, just five players scoring in double figures. The Spartans also had a total control on the boards, winning the rebounding edge 55-23 and outscoring Ferris State 28-0 in second chance opportunities. Now, the Spartans host Grand Valley State on Sunday at 4:30 p.m. to wrap up their exhibition season before opening the year at Notre Dame on November 11th. And new Sexton coaches, folks. Yes, Sexton is overhauling its basketball staff, making two notable hires for its boys and girls basketball teams. All-time leading scorer Ron Banks, who previously coached Lansing Eastern's JV team, will be the new varsity coach, replacing friend of the team, Carlton Valentine. Of course, Carlton Valentine is he retired this over the summer, you know, bidding Sexton adieu as he wants to spend more time at his son's game, specifically Denzel Valentine. Denzel and Drew, they're both on the MSU basketball team now. Of course, Denzel as a player, now Drew as a coach. But Ron Banks went on to say, quote, "I love the coaches over at Eastern and Coach Rod Ross to death, but Sexton's home." So, you know, Banks has been, you know, promoted as the new head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. And former Waverly star Elaine Ingram is changing allegiances after being hired as the new coach of Sexton's girls basketball team. Now, Ingram was an all Big Ten performer at U of M and was drafted by the WNBA Sacramento Monarchs. She was the assistant coach at Occidental College in L.A. before returning to the mid-Michigan area. Now, Waverly's all-time leading scorer, Ingram, will take over a Sexton program that registered just two wins last season. So they're hoping to turn that around. All right, Pelini resigns. Florida Atlantic head coach Carl Pelini, brother of Nebraska coach Bo Pelini, has resigned from his post after reports emerged of Pelini and defensive coordinator Pete Restis attending an event that included marijuana use. Now, after being confronted about the event by athletic director Pat Chun, Pelini and Reskis both tendered their resignations. Quote, "On Monday, I was made aware of these concerns, and I immediately reported the allegations to our general counsel." That's Chun. This is Chun at a news conference. Quote, directly from Pat Chun, AD. He went on to say, "The university acted quickly and decisively to follow up and take action that is in the best interest of our student-athletes and the university overall. I can assure you that we have no information that suggests anyone other than these two individuals engaged in these activities." Now, the school has announced that offensive coordinator Brian Wright will take over as interim head coach for the remainder of the season. Pelini, a former Nebraska D coordinator with his brother Bo, issued a brief statement saying, "I apologize for exercising poor judgment. My greatest concerns at this time are for my family, the dedicated FAU players, and my staff. I am confident that Pat Chun and the university administration will continue to move the program forward." Man, I tell you, marijuana gets a lot of folks in trouble, I tell you. All right. Also, I have to note that one of my favorite basketball players of all time, AI, the answer, Allen Iverson. Yes, he officially retired from the game yesterday, holding a news conference in which Iverson said that he, quote, "will be a Sixer until the day I die," end quote. So, Allen Iverson officially leaves the game of basketball. Well, those are your current sports headliners on this Halloween 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call here at the Current Sports Studio and dial 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And today's Current Sports question of the day deals with the Detroit Pistons. Yes, they tipped off their season last night against the Washington Wizards, a 113-102 win. Just how good do you think the Pistons will be this season? Will they make the playoffs? 517-355-9527. We've also encouraged you all to comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. In the meantime, let's talk about that World Series win for the Boston Red Sox last night. Yeah, I'm sure many in the Boston area are still partying and will be for quite some time after they beat the Cardinals 6-1 to capture the ball club's third World Series title in the last 10 seasons and their first title at Fenway Park in 95 years. Can you believe that? 95 years is what it took for them to celebrate at Fenway. They deserve it. Matt, I'm joined by Matt Luck here right now as we dive into, Boston getting this win. Matt, first of all, I got to say, from a standpoint of what Boston has been through this past year with the Boston Marathon bombings, it's got to warm anybody's heart, you know, no matter where you're from, to see a story like this, to see what the city has gone through, to see, you know, to go back in time to that moment when that happened and to see what went down. Then you had the shootings that went on, you know, not too long ago. It's really good to see something like this happen to the city of Boston. Boston Strong was in full effect last night, and to see, I also saw a picture from Boston's, I believe I saw from ESPN's Twitter account, in which they actually twit-picked a picture of people celebrating right at the Boston Marathon finish, just celebrating the Red Sox win. It was such a joyous moment, just to see, from that aspect, to see Boston celebrating, in lieu of that terrible moment that happened in April with the bombing. So, hats off, Boston Strong was in full effect last night. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, and, you know, when it happened back in April, people kind of, because usually things like this happen, where something bad happens in a city, they use a professional sports team as kind of a rallying point for the city.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, back when it happened, the Bruins were in the playoffs and the Celtics were in the playoffs, and people kind of thought maybe one of them would make a deep run. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had that amazing moment at the Bruins game with the national anthem. I mean, you know, people thought that those teams were going to advance. It just turned out that they had to wait a little bit longer, and the Red Sox got it done. And you know, talk about a turnaround for the Sox. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know, right?
Biggest,
from last season?
Biggest World Series winner, you know, turnaround from the previous season. They were a .426 winning percentage last year.
Right.
And now they're World Series champs. So
you got to give a lot of credit to John Farrell. He did a remarkable job coming in, changing the culture of this team, changing the mentality of this team. In his first season, he gets a World Series.
Yeah, and I mean, is anybody, you know, less hireable than Bobby Valentine?
Right.
Who was
their
manager last year.
Yeah, it's saying a lot, right?
Does anyone look worse coming out of this than him? No, but, you know, they dump Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez. They get rid of their big contracts that, you know, were players who weren't performing well. They became kind of the ragtag group that Boston certainly can relate to. And, you know, that's definitely a team that is going to grab the city's attention and have a big bandwagon following in Boston. A group of scrappy guys like this, the beards, the whole thing.
Finally, I can shave those nasty things, man. Those beards are kind of, I can just imagine.
Do you think they shave them, though?
I think some of them do.
I'm pretty sure.
I hope they do.
I'm pretty sure you can look homeless as long as you got a World Series ring and you're still going to get a table before anybody else in a restaurant. So.
Very true. I'm sure half the team is going to shave them things up. That's pretty funny stuff. But yeah, I mean, and looking at, you know, just looking at the game last night, I'm looking at this entire series. You gotta really note that they had unbelievable pitching this entire series. Boston's pitching was great with Lester and Lackey, Peavy, Buchholz. I mean, they were all great, each and every single one. And then you got Oihara, who was just unconscious. I mean, this kid comes in there, and he's just so accurate, so on point. No one can hit off of him. It makes it impossible. You know what I mean?
I mean, he would shut the door.
Just shut the, close
you
the
get
door.
It, you get it to the eighth inning, and the game is over. And if it wasn't for David Ortiz being his mind.
Yeah, he was unbelievable, wasn't he?
I mean, he hit .685 for the series.
Right.
He had four walks last night, three of them intentional.
And you know what? He still ended up scoring. You just talk about the batters around him. He still, even though he was walked that many times, he scored twice just reaching base. I mean, it just shows you that, you know, the bats were definitely clicking.
Right. It's not when they needed it's to. Not power bats that win you World Series. It's a bunch of consistent ones.
And it's situational hitting. You know
exactly.
What I mean? You know, when there was a moment, you know, in that game where Boston, you know, stretched out to that 6-0 lead. Before then, they had walked Ortiz. Ortiz goes to first. Runners are on corners. The next thing you know, two smacks later, you're looking at a 6-0 game. You know what I mean? Those are situations where you need hitting. That's timely hitting right there. And Boston did an incredible job throughout the entire series of doing that. And to be honest with you, I want to put this in perspective too. The Cards fought. They did fight. This was a boxing match, back and forth. But overall, that pitching, Oihara was a huge factor. And that great starting pitching from Boston was definitely notable.
They beat the Cardinals at their own game with those timely hits. The Cards hit .214 in the series, and that's out of their normal you know, that's how they get, that's what they pride themselves on. That's why they're so consistent in the playoffs every season. It's because they get these timely hits with runners in scoring position. Boston beat them at their own game, and they're deserving World Series champs. Yeah, but I do definitely have one thing to say.
Yeah.
The whole winning at home,
mm-hmm,
it's a little overblown.
You think it is? Well, it's Fenway Park, though.
I mean, this is like... If my team won a World Series on the moon, I would be happy. They don't like, it doesn't matter. It's a World Series.
That's true. But you know what? I kind of see where Boston, a lot of Boston fans are coming from because, you know, last night, what struck out to me, because I watched most of the game, when Erin Andrews, she interviewed a fan, you know, had been a Boston fan for 60-plus years. You know, he's in the crowd. I thought it was a really cool feature that they did this at the World Series. But anyway, Erin is interviewing him, and, you know, he's sitting there, and he's talking about, you know, how he's been waiting for years, well, all his life, basically, to celebrate at home, you know, to celebrate the moment in Boston. It's nothing like winning something in your home, in your city, where you can just go nuts right there. You know what I mean?
And
embrace the fans. You know, it's just a whole different nature when you talk about that, Matt. You know what I mean?
Of course, I understand.
This
is a team that has won 3 World Series in a decade.
Yeah, that's great.
80 years of not winning at all.
Right.
It just seems like that's kind of a thing that fan bases who are spoiled kind of latch onto. You know, oh yeah, we've won 2 World Series, but man, I wish we could just win one at home.
Yeah.
Well, you should be happy with 2 World Series.
Well, I'm sure they are happy. I'm sure they definitely are happy with, you know, winning the World Series if it's not in Boston. But it just adds another dimension, a different aura when it is in Boston.
I guess.
Because you're with your fans, you're with the team. You see it right there. It's happening at Fenway Park, which is the oldest stadium in baseball. The history in that park, I mean, could go on and on and on. You could talk about that for days. But, you know, and the fact that it hasn't happened at Fenway, you know, a program like Boston, it prides itself on wins. It hasn't happened in Boston for 95 years. That's a lot of years, man.
It's a lot of years.
It's a long
time,
man.
But they went almost that long without winning one at all. And now they've won 3 in rapid succession. So I just
feel
like,
3 in 10 years.
You know,
you just feel like they're blowing it out of proportion a little bit.
I mean, I get the, you know, the Boston bombing angle and how it was. Like,
and that even adds to it.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think it carries a lot of water.
Right.
But I think that definitely is a factor that you have to take into account. You know, hats off to them. Congrats, Boston.
Yeah. Congrats to Boston.
Hopefully the Yankees don't make a bunch of signings in the offseason, so we have to hear about the Red Sox and the Yankees all winter.
All winter. Yeah. All offseason.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh. That would be terrible.
But that's probably going to happen.
But, yeah. So, hold on. Going back to that, though, so you think if the Boston strong – if the bombings didn't happen – and they were still making a big deal out of, you know, it being at Fenway Park for the first time in 95 season, you think it'd still be blown out of proportion?
Yeah.
You think so?
Totally.
I don't know, Matt. I have to take the other way on this one. I just think with, of course, taking the Boston Bombers out of perspective and the fact that Boston hasn't won at home in 95 seasons, and if they didn't do it at home this season, I mean, it would have been the third time that they've won it, you know, in 10 years away from Fenway Park. I mean, that's kind of... I mean, it's like, come on, man. Can
still,
I celebrate at home? I want to celebrate at home.
Still 3 in 10 years.
I
just feel like a World Series is a World Series no matter where you win it. A championship is a championship no matter where you win it. Like, you don't see Super Bowl teams, you know, obviously because they don't play games at the home stadiums, but it's never like, oh, man, I wish, you know, the Packers wish they could win this one at Lambeau.
Yeah. From a player perspective, definitely. I see what you're saying. But from a fan perspective, like, if I, you know, I'm a huge Piston fan or a Lions fan, Cowboys fan, hate me if you want to. You know, if you know, the Lions, well, I don't even, the Lions have never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's go with the Pistons.
If the Pistons, you know, if they had won, let's say they're a dynasty.
Like
and
2004, would 2004 have been any different had they won in L.A.? I say
no.
Not a chance.
I don't, for me, no, because the Pistons, we've seen them, they've won it in 80, in the 80s, you know what I mean? They've won it at home there before. So the fans have felt that joy winning a championship at home before. It's fresh in their minds. If they win it somewhere else, okay. But 95 years, Matt, that's a long,
that's a long time. That's a long time.
Oh, my gosh, man. So,
no argument there.
I kind of feel him on that. All right. Well, let's hit the break, and we're going to come back and actually talk about the Pistons and dive into their win last night. The Pistons are undefeated, folks. Yes, they're 1-0. I'm gonna say that this throughout this entire show because there's not too often where I get to say that. All right, Pistons are undefeated. They're 1-0. They get a win over the Washington Wizards, actually 113-102 last night. We're gonna dive into that, and also we didn't get to the NBA, our NBA discussion yesterday. We're gonna kind of break down the league and make our picks for this season. Don't go anywhere. Current sports will be right back.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho makes many a list of scary movies. We'll talk with filmmaker Chris LaMartina about his take on the art of the horror film. A spooky Here and Now, next time from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m. Welcome back to Current Sports, and happy Halloween. As you see here on Current Sports, we are really just playing some Halloween tunes for you. I believe that's Will Smith. Look at Will Smith's, what's the name of that one? Nightmare on Elm Street. I think that's Will Smith's Nightmare on Elm Street. I love that joint right there. But yeah, it's Halloween. Be safe, folks, for all of you out there trick-or-treating. It's going to be raining all day, which that's kind of a bummer. But be safe. I'm going to be staying. What you doing? You doing anything for Halloween, Matt?
Oh, I got a road trip I got to make. Maybe I'll come back and watch Ghostbusters, though. That was a good...
That's a great tune. Aaron is on it today.
Man, Aaron is...
He's killing it, man. He's DJ A-Rod. He's on it, man.
I feel like, A-A-A-Rod. With that Thriller intro, I feel like we need, like, a smoke machine in here. We need some tombstones. Right, we need to decorate this studio. It's a little late now, but...
Yeah, it's a little late, but yeah.
Next year.
Next year, we got next year. Next I might year, even dress up.
Next year, the studio will match the audio. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
You're killing it today.
He's doing his thing, man. All right, well, let's dive into the Pistons and Wizards. Last night, the Detroit Pistons, they got a 113-102 win over the Washington Wizards, their opening game of the season. So the Pistons, yes, they're undefeated right now, folks. And our question of the day, our current sports question of the day, we pose to all of you, just how good do you think the Detroit Pistons will be this season? Will they make the playoffs? Will they go beyond the first round if they make the playoffs? I mean, that's what we're posing to all of you guys. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Before we dive into this, Matt, I want to read a few comments off of our Facebook page. Kevin says, quote, when Jennings returns, they have the potential to be a strong four seed in the East, outside of Miami, Indiana, and Chicago. I think our front court plus Jennings, being coached by Mo Cheeks and Chauncey, could pop anyone else in the East easily. Alex says, this is not our Alex, this is a different Alex. Alex says, 500 or maybe a little better. Amanda says, as good as they were in 04. Don't know about that
wishful
one, Amanda.
Wishful thinking, Amanda.
Wishful thinking right there. And Jamal says, as of right now, they are on pace for 82-0. Don't kill my vibe.
He's not wrong.
He's technically very right in that regard. So thanks a lot, guys. If you want to comment on this, again, give us a call, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/currentsports, and tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, Matt, Pistons get that win last night. Did you check it out? What'd you think of it, man?
The only thing I had a problem with was there was not enough GG.
Yeah, he got in like
19 seconds.
I was saying the same thing. 19 seconds? Come on. It's the
Give
MVP.
Me some GG.
Right. I was saying the same thing, man.
I don't know, man. Obviously, the new acquisitions look great.
Yeah.
Josh Smith, he's a better passer than people realize.
He is. He's a good shooter, too. I mean, he had a few shots last night. I'm sitting there like, wow.
Right. Where'd that now, come we'll from? See how long that lasts.
We'll see.
But he's a really good basketball player. Yeah. I don't know why Atlanta fans hated him so much. I'm sure we'll find out in a few months when we're,
I hope we don't
when we're
find
cursing
out.
His name. But,
I hope we don't find out.
But he looked really good last night. And Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
He's a man.
It's like a missed shot is a good play because he's probably going to throw it down emphatically.
Yes. Did you see the play last night? Chauncey Billups, he crosses over. I don't know who it is. Top of the key, Chauncey Billups crosses over and just kind of shimmies it to Andre. And Andre, like, floats 5 feet from the basket for a slam. I'm sitting there like, this kid is he can be something special.
He can be
something special, you know? And the thing is, you know, we go back to the only questions I have the Pistons. Last night, just going off last night's game, great game for the Pistons. I really love Chauncey back on this team. You got a veteran who's been there before. The fans love him. Just he's going to put more butts in the seat. People loved Chauncey when he was here. The ovation that he got when they announced his name was unbelievable. I was a huge Chauncey Billups fan. He was actually the first autograph I've ever gotten from any athlete. I was about 13 years old. 13 years old. Never forget that. But yeah, Chauncey's back in red, white, and blue. He brings, I think, a new attitude, a veteran type of attitude the Pistons needed. And seeing him out there, he looked good. You know what I mean?
He did look good. It's like
it looked like Chauncey from 04 almost.
It almost feels like we don't even need Brandon Jennings.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
Honestly, though, when you look at the minute, like Will Bynum. Mm-hmm. Is a solid third
Bynum
guard.
Had, yeah.
He's a solid third guard. He's good off the bench. He runs the pick and roll with Drummond so well.
Right.
He's gonna be effective. Billups is your one, and then you have, you know, Caldwell Pope and Singler on the wing. It just seems like maybe it'll get too congested with Brandon Jennings.
I have to see him. I gotta see him.
I know,
Brandon.
We gotta see
we
him.
Gotta see him play.
But it just seems like they kind of looked okay without him.
They did look decent without him.
And if Dwight Howard doesn't go crazy in the Houston Charlotte game,
right.
Greg Monroe
Yeah.
is like the big man with the best
yeah.
season debut because he played really well last night, too.
He did. I thought the combination of Monroe, Drummond, and Smith last night played well. Again, you know, it's the Wizards. You know, they're playing the Wizards, playing Washington here. But overall, the Pistons had a very good game. But, you know, going back to, you know, that combination of Monroe, Drummond, and Smith, last season they seemed to conflict and bump heads a lot. You know what I mean? They were trying to find themselves where to fit, you know, just trying to gel with one another. And that's something that they really couldn't – they didn't do last season, to be honest with you. If you look at shots taken, Matt, beyond 3 feet from the basket, they only shot 33%.
Terrible.
Terrible. They were terrible. You know what I mean? So the shooting has to become better. I think this season now is the second season with these three. I think they are going to start to click, and we saw some shades of it last night. So as the season goes on, they start to play bigger teams in the East, you know, the Miamis, the Pacers of the world, the Bulls of the world. We'll see. That'd be a true test to see exactly where this team is. And, you know, but overall, to go back to last night's game, great start for the Pistons. Overall, I thought the defense is another thing I want to know. I thought defense inside, interior defense for the Pistons with Drummond and Monroe down there. The Wizards seemed kind of hesitant to go down the paint, to be honest with you. They took a lot of shots, a lot of jump shots. If Washington wasn't hidden from behind the arc in the three-point line, it would have been a complete blowout. Because, honestly, that's what kept the Wizards in the game last night. That's the only thing that really kept them in the game last night.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza just went crazy. He went crazy last night.
28 points.
Yeah.
Trevor Ariza hasn't scored 28 points in a game since, like, he was a Laker.
In his dreams. I
this
know, right?
It's crazy.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, I was very happy defensively for the Pistons. I was very happy to see Chauncey out there relegating things. I thought Will Bynum had a good game. The big three, Smith, Drummond, and Monroe played great. We'll see if that, you know, continues throughout the season. What do you think the Pistons will be this season, Matt?
I think I don't think they're going to be, you know, as good as they were in 04.
No.
And I don't think they're going to go 82-0.
right.
I don't even know if they'll be a top four seed. I think the top four in the East is pretty much locked in.
Yeah, Bulls, Miami, Pacers.
And Brooklyn.
I think Brooklyn's in there, too.
I think they have a chance to catch the Knicks for the five seed.
Okay.
Except Tyson Chandler looked like old Tyson Chandler last night.
He did. Tyson Chandler did look good.
Oh, my goodness.
He looked really good.
If he's healthy for the whole year, New York is
right.
is a legit team.
I have him on my fantasy basketball team, too.
But other than that, I think, you know, they're kind of – in the preseason rankings, they're kind of lumped in with Washington, with Cleveland, and even with oh, my gosh. Sometimes Toronto even gets mentioned, and Milwaukee, too. But I think they're going to be better
I think they'll be better than those teams, yeah.
The only one that could possibly overtake them, I think, would be the Cavs. But there's so many variables there that have to deal with injuries, whether it's Kyrie Irving, who hasn't played a full season, or Andrew Bynum, who knows what he's going to do.
Yeah,
if those guys
stay
healthy, then the Cavs have a higher ceiling than the Pistons. I don't see it happening. I think the Pistons are right in line for a 5 or 6 seed.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I actually had predicted a 5 seed right now going into the East, and you know, I think they'll surprise a lot of people. The thing is, the Pistons have to stay healthy. If they stay healthy, if those big three, God forbid, something happens, but if they stay healthy, I'm really interested to see how they, as I said, you know, a minute ago, how they gel as the season goes on. I'm very curious this season as well. The Pistons have to shoot better than they did last season. They got to shoot better. Their percentage from deep wasn't great last season. They missed a lot of jumpers, you know, mid-range. Their mid-range game wasn't great last season. They got to shoot better. That's something that, you know, having a Chauncey Billups who is just dead on the money from – did you see him last night? From the beyond the arc, Chauncey just has –
people are cheering before he even shoots the shot.
Exactly. Just nothing
but
the bottom.
Because they know. They're so familiar. They're having flashbacks.
Flashbacks. I was having flashbacks last night, man. Bringing a guy like Chauncey to the mix, I think Brandon Jennings is a better shooter than people give him credit for. I think he has a good mid-range shot. But overall, I think the Pistons definitely have to shoot better this season, which I think they will do. And, you know, we'll see how the guard play is for the Pistons. I don't think we'll have to worry about that that front court for Detroit as much as we do that back court this season. I think that front court is going to be solid. I'm just worried about, you know, those guards. I'm very interested to see how Jennings fits into this Detroit offense. Because he can't be like he was, you know, when he was with the Bucks and his previous teams, where he's just a gunslinger, just shooting up everything, just kind of out of control. Put a leash on that.
Right.
You got other playmakers on this team. Be a facilitator and pick and choose your spots when you want to shoot.
Yeah, we'll see if he kind of lives up to what he was saying in the offseason where he said, the only reason I took all those shots was because we were so bad in Milwaukee.
Right.
Which is great. Anytime you leave a franchise, it's always good to throw the rest of your teammates under the bus.
Just throw them under the bus and say, I only had
horrible shot selection because you guys are so terrible. Really good. But a couple thoughts on the Pistons. We knew that the front line was going to be great defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Just their length alone. Josh Smith as a shot blocker, he's awesome.
Yeah, just look
him
at last night.
Him and Drummond.
Yeah.
Together they're going to be great. The big worry was offensively. And like you said, they were terrible shooting the ball outside of 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all these guys who want to play close to the rim, or at least should want to play close to the rim.
Right.
And the big concern was spacing. How are they going to find enough space on the floor? And I think one of the things that people overlooked was Josh Smith's ability as a passer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just a shooter or a scorer. He's an all-around basketball player.
And I think he has to buy into that mentality.
I think he will. I think now that he's out of Atlanta, out of basically NBA purgatory, he's got Chauncey Billups as the veteran leader.
Right.
I think Chauncey plays a huge role.
Because he's, you know, and you talk to other teams he's been on, even when at the Clippers, I mean, he was a mentor to Chris Paul out there, you know?
He's a coach
on the floor.
Exactly. If you're commanding respect from Chris Paul,
right,
that's you command a heck of a lot of respect because he's one of the premier players in the NBA, and he looked up to Chauncey.
Exactly.
And so I think it can only happen more here.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And we'll see as the season goes on. But I think, you bring up a great point, man, because we talk about, you know, the struggles that this, you know, Smith, Monroe, and Drummond had last season. It was all about spacing. It was about, that whole concept of gelling with each other, knowing what each other likes to do, where you like to be. We'll see how that pans out this season. So, all right, now yesterday, during yesterday's show, we didn't get to kind of talk about the NBA like we wanted to. We had a full show with Dan Dickerson, but we're going to get to it now really quick and kind of talk about the league and, who do we think is our top 10 teams and who we think is going to take it this season, MVP. Just dig into that really briefly. And also, we wanted to talk about if bringing Brandon Jennings really quickly was the right move for the Pistons. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I'm going to say, just for argument's sake, no. I do not think Brandon Jennings bringing him in for Brandon Knight was the right move.
You don't?
I don't.
Why? Because I disagree.
I think, like I had just mentioned, it's never good to sell your teammates out, throw them under the bus after you leave. He was basically run out of Milwaukee. Whenever a player leaves a franchise and that franchise's fan base is relieved and excited that he's gone, as a major red flag. And I know that the, 2004 Pistons championship team was kind of built on players like that, whether it was,
Rasheed.
Rip Hamilton, cast off, Sheed.
Yeah.
I mean, even Chauncey bounced around the league after being a very high draft pick. and they kind of found their place. They found their home in Detroit, but Jennings is a bit different of a case. He's always been a little bit of a different guy. He doesn't play any defense at all.
Uh-huh.
He's 6'1 on a good day, 170 pounds. He's not going to play any defense. It's going to be a lot more pressure on that front line to cover his back because he's going to get beat an awful lot. He's a gambler both offensively and defensively. His shot selection is terrible. I feel like there's going to be games where he goes off and he gels perfectly with the team, but I can't see him completely abandoning the style that he used in Milwaukee where he was gunning fadeaway 20-footers, tough baseline 20-footers over a 7-footer just, you know, with 12 seconds left on the shot clock. I don't think you can just turn that off, especially when you're a guy who is as talented as he is, because admittedly, he's probably more talented than Brandon Knight. I just don't know if he's going to be a better player.
So you think they should have kept Knight?
Yeah. I don't know why we gave up on Brandon Knight so quickly.
I think the reason why – I want to put this in perspective. I think the reason why Knight – why the Pistons made the decision to get rid of Knight. You got to look at Joe D, first of all. He's in a position – he was in a position this past offseason where he needed to make a move that kind of shook up things – to let everyone know that he's trying to make this a ball club that makes the playoffs once again. If not, if the Pistons don't make, let's be honest, if the Pistons don't make the playoffs this season, I think Joe D is gone.
Yep.
He is completely gone. You will not hear about Joe D, you know, being, you know, the head of this team anymore. So he needed to make a move that kind of shook up things. And if you look at the Pistons these past few years, you know, the past 4 years not making the playoffs, as I just said, I mean, one of the biggest problems is guard play. The guards have simply not produced. Stuckey, to me, is too out of control. Bynum, I think Bynum is a great backup guard. He's not a starting guard, and he needs to hone his skills as time goes on. I don't think Bynum is a premier guard in this league. There was no veteran leadership on this team. But looking at Brandon Jennings, though, Brandon Jennings has proved over the years that he can score. He's a scorer. Which the Pistons haven't had a scoring guard in since Chauncey, to be honest with you. And that's something they were looking for. Brandon Jennings is a guy who kind of bring, and you talk about attitude is big with Brandon Jennings, because if you look at in Milwaukee, going back to that, he's a head case. He was a head case in Milwaukee. Like you said, he threw his teammates under the bus. He's a guy that's saying, I got to get mine. I'm going to shoot 50 times a game if that's what it takes, because I feel like we're a bad ball club. I don't trust my teammates. Let me go out there and just ball out of control. That mentality is not going to fly. He has to buy into that mentality with the Pistons now, because you got guys like a Mochicks Mochicks is a no-nonsense type of coach, which I think is a big reason why, you know, Joe D hired him. Chauncey Billups is a great mentor when it comes to guards. I mean, he's mentored arguably the best guard in the NBA and Chris Paul. I just think that those combinations right there alone are going to force Brandon Jennings to tone down the stint that he had and the type of play that he had in Milwaukee, and it's going to force him to play a different type of way. And I think the Pistons, as far as from a on-court perspective, the Pistons kind of needed a guard that kind of had, you know, kind of has that. He brings that kind of Detroit bad boy mentality to the mix. You know what I mean? Because if you look at the first round of playoffs last season, he goes and says, yeah, we're going to beat the Heat. We're going to beat them. If you remember that quote.
I do.
We got the Heat. You know what I mean? That's the mentality. That's a Detroit mentality. That's a Detroit basketball mentality. You know what I mean? If you look at the history of the Pistons, I think that mentality is great for the Pistons. And I think having a mentor like Chauncey, and having a coach like Mochicks, who is great. Mochicks was a great guard himself when he used to play. Having the combination of that is going to force him to change his mentality. And I think you're going to see Brandon Jennings become a scorer and a guy that buys in this season.
I think you're going to have to, or else.
But you don't think he will.
Or else it's going to be a disaster. I think he might. I think short term, I feel like it can work. I don't know about long term. Now, they only signed him to a 3-year deal. But financially, would you rather pay Brandon Jennings $24 million over 3 years or Brandon Knight $6 million over two?
Yeah, but you know, I just think, Matt, with Brandon Knight, man, we didn't know if he was a guard, if he was a two guard. He was too inconsistent.
See, that's another thing, because when you bring in Chauncey Billups and have Will Bynum, that's 3 point guards now that we have with Jennings. Now they're going to have to move Chauncey off the ball to the two guard. Why couldn't you have just done that with Brandon Knight? Put him at the two. He doesn't have to be the facilitator because that's where he struggled. You already have a pick-and-roll guy in Will Bynum. You already have Chauncey Billups, who is a knockdown shooter. You have Brandon Knight, who is a better career three-point shooter than Brandon Jennings is, 37 to 35. You know, he didn't average as many assists, and he did struggle with that. But who did the Pistons have that could make a shot last year? Kyle Singler?
Nobody.
I mean, Greg
Monroe.
Andre
Drummond and Greg Monroe.
Andre Drummond is a dunk or a miss. I mean, you know, when
outside of 3 feet, like I said, he's struggling.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Greg Monroe. Now, you did that shot study interview, the shot score interview with Ashton from Shortridge from MSU. Greg Monroe was number two in the lowest shot score in the league with negative 134. Only Monte Ellis was worse. So it's not like he was surrounded by guys who were going to be knockdown shooters.
Right.
And on the other side, Brandon Jennings had... Well, he did have Monte Ellis, so that's not a strike against him. But he also had, you know, he also had J.J. Redick. You know, he had Tobias Harris for part of the season. He had Ersan Ilyasova. I mean, he had guys around him that could score the ball, and he still took 400 more shots last year than Brandon Knight did.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing. And when you compare his argument, I tried to look at. You know, the statistics, when you're comparing Brandon Knight and Brandon Jennings, it's almost kind of an unfair argument just because Brandon Knight's hasn't been in the league as long as Brandon Jennings. And,
right.
You know, it's a different situation in both teams. But looking at it, this move, I think, was made, like I said, I go back to it. I mean, I think it was made because it was meant to stir up some things. Brandon Knight is a guy who many Detroit fans, including myself, had a lot of hope in. You know, he's a good young player. I believe he went to Kentucky.
Yep.
I think he's coming from Kentucky. He had a great stint over there. I'm like, okay, this kid can really be something. It just didn't seem like he fit into the puzzle at all.
I get it because, you know, obviously he wasn't the two-time Gatorade Player of the Year that he was out of high school.
Right.
He wasn't that guy yet, but he's still 21 years old. And, of course, he got hurt last night. Now they're both hurt.
Yeah,
so it doesn't even,
hurt.
You know, this comparison is just speculative.
Right. We got to see Brandon Jennings play first.
Exactly. But I think giving up on Brandon Knight this early might be a mistake because we know what Brandon Jennings is. We don't know exactly what Brandon Knight is going to be.
Only time will tell, right?
Only time will tell.
We will see. All right. Well, really quickly, Matt, who's your MVP this season?
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant's your MVP. I'm going with, I wrote it down here. KD is mine as well. Scoring title.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant is mine as well. Rookie of the year.
Ooh, Victor Oladipo.
Victor Oladipo is mine as well. Did you cheat? Did you look at this?
I did not look at
that. Did you look at my list before? Okay.
Swear to God.
Worst record.
Worst record?
Worst record.
Ooh, this is tough.
Tough, right?
Philly won last night. Philly beat the Heat last night.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Phoenix.
Did you look at... Okay.
I didn't.
Phoenix is mine, too. Defensive player of the year?
Oh, gosh. Why don't you go first, and I'll just name somebody different.
It was between Dwight Howard and LeBron James for me. I think LeBron finally gets it this year.
I'm going to say Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert's yours.
Yep.
Roy Hibbert's great. Great choice.
He played so well in the playoffs last year.
Yes,
if he has that over a whole season, it's tough. But Dwight Howard... Holy cow, did he look good last night.
26 rebounds?
26 rebounds. And some of them, though, he was like elbowing his own guys out of the way. This is mine.
He's a man on a mission right now.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Yeah.
If there's a guy who's going to be motivated after last season, it is Dwight Howard.
Definitely. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and we're going to play a pretty, pretty cool college, just a pretty cool college segment for you guys, all right? Stick around. More current sports is coming right back at you.
On the next Fresh Air, actor Jared Leto.
Do you like this dress? Because I think the neckline's a little plunging.
Rayon, the whole purpose of this study is to determine if AZT is helping people.
Come on, Evie, you know there ain't no helping me.
Leto plays a transgendered woman with AIDS in the new film, The Dallas Buyers Club. He got a start on the TV series My So-Called Life. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock.
Watching. Yeah, watching me.
Welcome back to Current Sports. Happy Halloween. I'm your host, Al Martin. Man, Rockwell's Who's Watching Me? Aaron, you're on it, man. You're on it. Of course, it's Halloween. We're playing Halloween music throughout the entire show. Well, let's get to a pretty cool segment we want to bring to you guys. MSU football fans, they look forward to hearing Spartan touchdown cheers resound on the banks of the Red Cedar on Saturday, as U of M faithful hope to repeat last year's victorious performance. Now, Saturday's 3:30 p.m. battle for the Paul Bunyan Trophy has shaped up to be the Big Ten's most significant game so far this season, and Spartan spirit is running high in East Lansing. The old college spirit and football fight songs are a favorite topic for Oakland, California-based freelance writer Nathan Coca. His recent Yahoo.com article, Top 25 College Football Fight Songs, includes the favorite tunes of powerhouse programs and a few surprises. WKAR's Peter Wharf recently spoke with Nathan by phone. Coca kicked off the conversation by considering the inspiration of collegiate sports.
You know, when I think of college football, I think of like something that really brings together the entire like university community, not just like in the city where the college is, but all around the world. And the fight song is kind of like the symbol of that unity. And there's something different about college football. The stadiums are, you know, the largest stadiums in America. And most stadiums is not necessarily about, you know, where you sit. You can be sitting in the back, you can be sitting in the front, but you get the same sort of experience. You get the same sort of feel. You get the same sort of connection to the game and to the sport. You know, you always want to have the students closer because they provide the energy. And I think the whole stadium feeds off that energy and the marching band and really provides that spark. And I think that keeps everything together.
And in your Yahoo article, you touch a little bit on the difference between college football and professional football, whereas in professional football, there's certainly plenty of energy and sound, some might say noise, but it doesn't have quite the same pageantry.
I definitely agree with that, and I'm also an NFL fan. I definitely prefer college. When I go to an NFL game, it's fun, but I feel like I can get a similar experience to watching it on TV. But going to a college game, and watching a college game on TV, I think are just two completely different experiences. And just being there in the stadium and seeing the pageantry and seeing the band and just being part of the whole experience and the energy, I think it's something really, really special.
Flutie flushed. Throws it down. Caught by Boston College. I don't believe it. It's a touchdown. The Eagles win it.
Nathan, take me back to when you were younger and your first college fight song or fight songs. Do you remember the one or the ones that you first heard and that stirred you?
No, I know it shouldn't be such a big thing, but you know, having a good sports program was actually important to me because I felt like it would be part of the college experience and help me connect more to where I was going.
Absolutely. So, Nathan, take me to your days at USC. Certainly, some might call that one of the more relentless fight songs.
Yeah, I know our opposing fans often will complain that we play it too often or play it over and over again. And that's a funny thing because I don't think any USC fan will ever get sick of hearing that song. We can play it over and over again. We can hear it on repeat for hours, and you know, we still love it.
Your list is entitled The Top 25 Best Fight Songs in College Football. So, okay, Nathan, let's break this down a bit. Your list includes a group of 20 made up of, you know, some of the ones that you would expect. Looks like, if I'm correct, 6 from the Big Ten, 7 from the SEC. The Pac-10 is represented by 4 great schools and great fight songs, and the Big 12 has a few as well. Let's break this down just a little bit into some of the common qualities. What makes for a great fight song as it appears on your list?
When I was making this list, I was really looking at like a few things. Number one is like recognizability, like which are the songs like that we recognize across the country as being powerful fight songs. And second, ones that really like within the song have that energy or really represent the university, represent the fan base. Yeah, and I really tried hard to get a geographic, you know, pick schools from all the different parts of the country. Do the typical fan who goes to the university knows the words of the song or they know what to do when the song is going, when the song is happening. And obviously, yeah, you know, there's certain songs that we all heard. I think it's around here, like the Michigan fight song is so pervasive. I think when I heard it, I'm like, wow, I think I've heard, I can't remember. I feel like I heard this song when I was growing up, even though I maybe wasn't a Michigan fan, but it's just so, you hear it everywhere. Everyone knows it. Same with Notre Dame. Everyone knows Hook 'em Horn, Boomer Sooner. There's a lot of these songs are part of our collective national culture.
What is it, I have to ask, that made you include Michigan State on your list?
They've had a team that's competed well, you know, in the last several years, and I think it's added to the atmosphere, and then that's why I knew the song when I heard it. Yeah, I'm assuming that's why I put it on there.
Let's go up the list a little bit. Of course, you mentioned Notre Dame before. You have them as your number three choice. Michigan, as you astutely noted, is a fight song, the victors, that is known across the country by every college football fan. But then your number one pick to me at the same time was somewhat of a surprising pick, but a delightful and admirable one as well. You have Army and Navy tied for number one. Really anthems, as you said, not just fight songs.
You know, the Navy-Army song, the Navy-Army game every year is just, it's known across the country as being the purest, most traditional rivalry in the country, a place where the traditions have been the same, where it doesn't matter how good the schools are or how good they're playing. The stadium's going to be full, the energy's going to be there, people all across the country are going to cheer. And the fact that even though they're a rivalry, I don't think you never have fans from the other team disrespecting the other team's fight song. You know, it's something that everyone collectively cheering for, everyone collectively has an energy. And these are also two fight songs that we've all heard in some form. We've heard it maybe when we saw like the 4th of July march, or maybe we heard it on Memorial Day or some sort of event. It's also been part of like who we are as a country. You know these kids that are playing for the universities, they're all gonna go serve for our country, and they're doing this, you know, they're not recruited the same way the people in Michigan, Notre Dame, or USC are. They are doing this more for the pure love of football. And this game represents that, I think, you know, original idea of what makes college football really special.
Nathan Coca is a freelance writer in Oakland, California. His recent article, The Top 25 Best Fight Songs in College Football, was the topic of our discussion today. Nathan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, if that doesn't get you in the mood for MSU and Michigan this weekend, I don't know what does. I tell you, that Michigan fight song, though, I'm an MSU alum, as much as I hate to admit it. That's a very note. I remember being, like, you know, in my diapers and hearing that song. You know what I mean? That song has been played so much, you know. It's probably more notable. It's probably the most notable fight song, to be honest with you, that I've ever heard.
It's because they never stop playing.
They never stop playing that thing. Just repeat all the time.
We get it.
Yeah.
We're supposed to hail to the victors. We get it. How many times?
Right.
It's so repetitive.
It is. They
might as well be like a pop song or something. Just the same thing.
Even when other teams score a touchdown, they're playing it. You know what I mean?
It's like, wow. Five lyrics to the whole song.
Yep.
Ugh.
All right, really quickly, man. It's Throwback Thursday. What we got, man?
Oh, I don't have anything.
Nothing. No Throwback Thursday. All right, what are you doing for Halloween, man? Just gonna chill out. And you said you're going out of town.
Yeah, I got to make a quick run to Kalamazoo. But after that,
gotcha.
I think I might be watching Ghostbusters. I really do.
Ghostbusters are great.
It's on Netflix, and Aaron inspired me with this music choice today. So I think it might be a Ghostbusters night.
Ghostbusters.
What's your favorite Halloween movie, Al?
I was just about to give it. You know, my favorite Halloween movie of all time, probably the scariest movie of all time for me, just me personally, The Exorcist.
The Exorcist, classic.
The Exorcist.
Now, is that stemming just from when you watched it the first time, or is it just
Yes. When I watched it the first time, I never forget. We went and got it. It was Halloween night. I didn't trick or treat for some reason. I don't know. I was like 13, 14. I was kind of getting out of that mood. I'm like, I'm
too
old
for
this.
You were just too cool for it?
I'm too cool for school, baby.
I don't need to trick or treat.
You know, candy. I just eat my sisters. You know what I mean?
Hey,
there you go.
So
I chilled in, actually, and you know, stayed with my dad, my mom and dad, actually. And because my sister were out with her friends trick or treating. And we, you know, my mom was like, man, The Exorcist freaked me out, son, when I was little. I'm like, all right, get out of here. So they put it on. We're all three watching it. They fall asleep. At the beginning of the movie.
Typical.
Yes. I'm sitting, I look over, okay, they're asleep. I'm watching this by myself. I almost died, man. I swear. Oh my gosh. That moment still haunts me to this day. And it's like that, after I can watch it now with no problem.
Right.
But back in the day, that first initial watch of The Exorcist.
Terrifying.
Terrifying, man. Oh,
I see that.
What's yours? Is it Ghostbusters?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, you don't have one?
No. I think my favorite recent one, though, Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, that's, I love
such
that
a good movie. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah, check that out if you haven't seen it.
Yes, great movie. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to Current Sports. Production assistant Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. You listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, WKAR East Lansing, and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Halloween. Be safe, folks, and be easy.